Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nice to see all of you so early this morning. I've been asked to give the opening message, and decided to choose 1 Timothy 4, because in this passage we have the phrase, "Let no man despise thy youth." Of course, it is spoken by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who was the pastor of the church in Ephesus. At what age he was at this point in time, we do not know. But he was pretty young, and perhaps he was a little timid. And the older folks, in particular perhaps the elders in the church, were very intimidating. And so he was affected by the intimidation of the older folks in the congregation. And so he needed a lot of encouragement, and the Apostle Paul wrote this to him by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Let no man despise thy youth. What is the difference between a youth and an old man? What's the difference, other than the hair? Old men have gray hair, so mine is gray, but not that gray yet, so I'm in between. The difference between a youth and an old man, according to God, okay, is this, taken from Proverbs 20:29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray head. The glory of young men is their strength. The beauty of old men is the gray head, implying wisdom. They have experiences after experiences behind them, so they are supposed to be wise. They have gone through life. They have seen a lot of things. They have made many mistakes, and perhaps, hopefully, they will learn from their mistakes. So that would be their beauty. But for the young people, you have your life ahead of you. The word of God here says, your glory, your honor, your beauty, as it were, is your strength. Young people do not think of death. Old people do. Old people, they really number their days to the best of their ability, because they realize that many of their colleagues, one by one, are entering into the realm of the dead. They have no choice, as it were. Each time when I fill in my application form, especially when you fill in certain forms from the computer, you buy a particular electronic gadget, and then they ask you to send in the guarantee form through the internet. And so they will give you the application form. When it comes to your birth date, you click on the year, they begin with 2006. Then you click on it. In the past, 2 years back, when I click on it, one click, I can see my year. Now one click, I could scroll down before I find my year. And what comes to mind would be, one day, my year would be the year of the gray head. There will be no more people born in 1954. It will be my year, 1955. I don't want to think this way. It just happens. Sometimes such thoughts enter into your mind without you wanting it to. And you don't want it to. And yet, it happens. That's the way of life. When you grow older, you think of how many more years you have left. When you are young, healthy, and strong, you think differently. You think that the world is at your feet. You have everything to look forward to. You have life ahead of you. My life has not actually been lived out yet. I'm still in school, many of you will think. After my NS, for the guys, you'll probably go into university. And then your working life has never really started. For some, perhaps you have just started your working life. And you have a lot of energy, a lot of plans, a lot of ambitions. And the Bible says, your glory is your strength. This BP Youth Conference is more than just an economic, carnal conference where we try to spur you and encourage you to make more money, to have big dreams, dream dreams, like that of an entrepreneur, go all over the world and make it good in terms of the things of the world, the materialistic world that we are living in. Your strength and your youth comes only once in a lifetime. I had mine. I came to know the world when I was 23 in the university. Very soon, before you know it, your youth is gone. You find out very quickly that it's gone, especially when you play badminton with someone half your age. Your mind tells you this is the way to beat the fellow, but your body doesn't seem to understand what your mind says. You can beat the person in the mind, but your hand coordination, your lip coordination, anything else just won't cooperate. You can't do it anymore. You know the person's weakness, you know the person's strength, you know how to beat a young person half their age, which you were used to be able to do when you were that age. But now you just simply couldn't. All your strokes are gone. You've lost it. Completely. It comes only once in your lifetime. And the Lord makes no mistakes at what age you become a child of God, because that is the first thing you have to ensure in your life. If you are not a Christian, everything else that you're going to listen today and tomorrow, concerning what the world is like, concerning the lessons you can learn from the Old Testament, the New Testament, means absolutely nothing if you are not born again, if you are not a child of God. And if you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, you must also understand that it is no mistake that He saved you at this age where the strength of usefulness is on your side, where you can use it for the glory of God. He said, the Lord saved many, many people when they are in their evening years, 60, 70, and some of them enter into eternity literally in the last few breaths of their lives here on earth. And even if they wish to serve the Lord, they couldn't. Everything else has already gone. They have used up the best years of their life, the energy and the strength that God gives to every human being. They have used it up. But for you, the Lord has saved you at your tender age for a purpose, with the strength of youth, the vigor, the courage of youthfulness, that young people can do things that old people will think many, many times over, and at the end of it, maybe I should not do it, because the responsibilities of adulthood, the responsibilities of family life, will make us think over and over and over again before we do certain things. But the youth, they have the kind of gung-ho spirit where they have the ambition and the strength and the determination to do things that older folks cannot do. You have this ahead of you. And how you spend this youthfulness, whether it is to accumulate worldly accolades or to use it for the glory of the Lord and for the extension of His kingdom, that responsibility is yours. It's ahead of you. Even if I want to, I couldn't. I cannot turn the clock back and ask God to give me my youth again. He can't, even if He wanted to, because every one of us one life to live. And at the end of life journey, the judgment for every one of us, believers or unbelievers, the judgment. Sure, we may say different kind of judgment. Yes, different kind of judgment for believers, the judgment nonetheless. We have to give an account to the Lord how we spend our time. You have this in your hands. How do you plan to use it? To give that scholarship? To give worldly accolades after accolades and get the medals of the world, or only one medal from the Lord? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Now, just because you have life ahead of you doesn't mean that your life is ahead of you, because our life is in God's hands. Take a slow walk to Chakukong Cemetery and you will find how death is no respecter of person. Do not assume that when you were born you had a stamp on your birth certificate guaranteed to live 80 years and 10, and by reason of strength, if this child pops in enough of the vitamins that are available today, plus another 10 more years. You go home and check your birth cert, ask from your parents. See whether there is any stamp from God. You'd be very special if you had that stamp. We all would like to have a look also. Nobody has it. Don't assume that you have next year, not even next month, not even tomorrow. Use it well. It is like treasures in your hand. You can spend it only once. And how you spend it is a responsibility God has given to every young people. And all the more so to young people whom we have saved at a tender age. I wish God would have saved me a little earlier. I wish. But that's wishful thinking. It never happened, it never will. God knew the exact age when I would be saved, period. God knew yours as well. And the Lord wants you to use it well, your youthfulness, which is your quality, your strength. Don't waste it. Many have. Many are regretting. Don't waste it. Let no man despise your youth. This was what Paul said to Timothy. Let no man think down on your youth. Let no man despise thy youth. How did this happen? Many people regard the youth as wild, as reckless, impulsive, rude, self-centered, rebellious, disobedient to parents. Would you like to help me add onto the list? It's true, isn't it? That's how many people of my generation look at youth. I have children who are in your age group. Abigail wanted to come, but she's not well, so she couldn't come. She's resting at home. That's how they look at us as well. Generation gap, they call it. They don't understand us. My parents do not understand me. They want me to do certain things that are old-fashioned. I want to be like the world. I want to be in the world. I want to dress like the world. I want to be part of the world. I want to be accepted by the world. And so we speak the worldly language. We dress the worldly dressing. Everything is so much like the world, and our parents keep on trying to stop us. They're trying to suffocate us by their old-fashioned way of thinking and their philosophies and their understanding toward life. And then they say, well, when we were young, that's the phrase that young people hit the most and parents say, when we were your age. But you hate that phrase, I'm sure. Because we want you to bring you back to our age and our time, and that makes you very upset and angry. And so you react. You raise your voice and you use bad words, bad language, and some of you will even curse your parents behind their backs. They are friends of your friends, because all of them do it. And you call your father the old man. Right? Let no man despise your youthfulness. Sure, you can do that because you are learning. Parents understand that. You are entering into a phase of your life. It's between, it's happening between dependence and independence. All this while you have been very dependent upon your parents, and now as you mature, as you grow, you try to think independently, but physically you are not totally independent because you still depend upon your parents for your food, for your clothing, for your pocket money. But you want to taste independence. And the parents feel that you're not ready for independence. And so you have the clash. And when they look at your life, they look at the way that you live, the way that you conduct yourself, so irresponsible, they may say, in your heart. Do you give them a just cause that these comments that you're really rude, irresponsible? Let no one despise the usefulness that the Lord has given to you, which is a privilege. Don't turn it into something that is a curse, that is bad. That they will despise you because you are young. That's what Paul encouraged Timothy. You make sure that when they examine your life, even though you may not have experience, experience cannot be bought. You have been lifted out. And there is no shortcut to aging. Every one of us will age at the same rate, at the same pace. With every tick of the second of the clock, the second arm of the clock. All this into the system, and there is no way you can speed it up. There is no time drop, there is no going back in time, going forward in time. All of us live in time. An experience is something that we have to gain with time. Don't let anyone despise you because you do not have experience. You have youthfulness, which is a very, very strong quality that old people do not have. Don't give them any opportunity to despise you because you are young. So you give them a reason. At home, your parents, whether they are believers or unbelievers, if they are unbelievers, all the more why your example as a young person at home must be exemplary. Do you give them a reason to despise you as a youth, as a Christian? What about your parents who are Christians? Do you give them also a cause, a just cause? Why they should be upset with you? Your behavior, your conduct, your attitude, your laziness perhaps, your desire to only listen to pop music, to dress like the world, to do the things of the world. Do you do that? The Bible here says, let no man despise thy youth. Don't give anybody any reason to put you down. In other words, that's the first thing you have to determine in your heart. And it is crucial, because if this is not what you set your heart to do, like what Daniel did. He was a young boy, younger than all of us, perhaps. He determined in his heart not to defile himself. In a world totally unknown to him in Babylon, all his peers wanted to be like the world, and he had to stand out despite the mockery, despite the threat, despite perhaps the danger that he put himself in, knowing that Nebuchadnezzar, as the king with absolute power, could kill him anytime. But he made sure, even if I have to die, I will not defile myself. So you have this determination. If you are not prepared to have this determination in your heart, as a child of God, as a Christian, you're going to give a lot of cause, a lot of reason for people to despise your youth. We're not saying that we have to be perfect. Sure, we all make mistakes. If you make a mistake, admit it, suffer the consequences, and then you improve yourself and you move on. Apologize to your parents, apologize to your siblings. Whether they are younger than you or not, doesn't matter. If you have done something wrong, apologize to your brother or your sister. Let them see that you are young, perhaps, but I am also a young person with a lot of godly attributes. I'm honest. I'm responsible. I am a young man, a young lady of my word. Let them see that, because your parents will see you with very, very clear eyes. With your friends, you are extra and extremely tolerant, extra patient, extra long-suffering. Somehow, friends you can lose. Parents, brothers and sisters, you can never lose. So less patience is needed, less long-suffering, quick to speak, slow to listen. True? With friends, well, I can lose my friends. I want to be part of this group. I want to be part of this group. We see that things, oh, never mind, never mind, tolerate. But with parents, one slightly just slip of the tongue from them, bam, you blow your head off. Give them a piece of your little mind. Right? Give them a piece, because every piece you give them, their mind gets smaller. Don't do so much. Keep it. Don't have much to spare. Let no one despise you. You think carefully. At home, do they have a cause to despise their youth? In school, some of you may be working in your workplace. You are young. Don't waste those years the way that some of us have wasted. And those years never came back. It's gone. And what many of us have, when we think back on our youthful days, regret. I wish I could have done an even better year. I wish I could have gone on more mission trips. I wish I could have spent more time, more money in the study of God's word. I wish. That's all that is. Wish. Will they come back? No. They're gone. Let no man put you down simply because you are young. Use your youth, use the vigor, use the strength that God has given to you as a child of God for the promotion of His kingdom, for the blessing of others. You can do it with God's enabling. Pray and ask the Lord to direct you and to show you, what can I do, where can I go, how can I help? Bless the church. Bless those who are in need of the gospel. Go out and reach out to them. What can I do? You can do so much with your zeal, your fervency, your energy that all people simply could not do because you don't have it anymore. It's gone. The amount of work that we have to do, the responsibilities that we have are so overwhelming. We just simply could not do the things that you can as a young person. Assuming that you want to do it, the Bible says, be thou an example of the believer. That's where you must begin. An example here is the root word where we get the English word type or typology in hermeneutical application. A type. It is something that is produced by means of a lot of hammering, blows. You beat something into a kind of a pattern, a kind of a print, an impression, a mold made by a stamp, stamping, like a cast that you want to, for example, make motor cars. So you make a mold of the many parts of the motor car and you use that mold. And that is what the word example means. Be a pattern, a mold, a cast, an impression for other believers. So when they look at your life as a Christian young person, there are other people who are younger than you, and there are other people who are older than you. When they look at your life, they will see a mold that they want to pattern after. That's what it means. Be an example of the believers. Do you want that in your life? So when they look at the way you speak, they look at the way you dress, they look at the way that you do your hair, the way they look at you when you conduct yourself, whether it is with children, with adults, and with the things of the world, the philosophies of the world, they will say, I want my son, my daughter, I want to be like such a person. I want to pattern my life after such a person. Be an example of the believers. And you're someone who is very, very into the fashions of the world, very easily affected by the fashions of the world. You want to look modern. All young people want to look modern, right? So they want to wear mother's clothes, father's clothes. True? I love to wear my father's clothes when I was young. When I was younger. Too young. When I was in the army, I wore all my dad's clothes. Didn't know how to go out and buy clothes. My mom never went out with me. So I wore my... I'm the only one in the whole family who would like to wear my father's clothes. Because it's my father's clothes. More for sentimental reason than anything else. I never bothered about fashion. Couldn't care less. Since I was young. Even when I was a non-Christian. Couldn't care less about fashion. For one thing, I didn't have the money. My dad was a multi-millionaire. But my mom made sure that we do not realize it. So we still wear hand-me-downs. I wear my brother's clothes. My younger brother wear my clothes. We just pass it on. The first time when I wore clothes that belonged to me and me only was when I went into the National Service. My army clothes. They were always mine. That's the first time in my life I had clothes that belonged to me. So I wore my dad's clothes when I went out dating. Now my wife. So on my birthday, she tried to change my wardrobe, buy me clothes for me. Are you very concerned about the fashions of the world, dress like the world, the clothing of the world, without any discernment, not an iota of discernment? Whether it is modest, whether it is decent, doesn't matter. Everybody is doing it. And so that's the common thing now, the common trend, when they wear pants, low-cut pants, right? High-cut blouse. So what do you have in between? Your midriff. Right? Exposed. parts of your body for the whole world to see, and you walk around like it's so common. You're right, it's common. But should Christians dress like that? Young ladies, guys, the same thing. Earrings, tattoo. Be part of the crowd. You want to belong to this clique in your school, to be identified with them. I must dress like them, that's my idol. We argue. No idea of what is decent, what is modesty. As Christians, the Bible says you have to be example. Be a mold, be a pattern for others to follow, to emulate. And when they look at you, they say, I want to be like this. And young people need such examples because they are as rare as precious diamonds. Would you be such? Or are you going to be like the world? Like everybody, if you close your eyes, take a piece of chalk and you throw it, everybody look the same. Because that's what they sell nowadays. That's the kind of blouse they sell, that's the kind of pants they sell nowadays. And don't buy. Wait for the whole cycle to come there, because fashion is always a cycle. Right? So the guys, the same thing. It's either bell-bottom pants or not bell-bottom. How, what else can they do to a pair of pants? A pants is a pants, right? And so now they cut it lower so that you wear lower down or you higher up. A tie is either thick or fat or thin. I mean, what else can they do? It's always a cycle. Always. If I keep my back close, you come back and become more than one day. So it's a cycle. You look at it honestly, it's a cycle. It's just changing color, changing material, maybe softer, nicer, because of technology. But it's a cycle. So why be caught up in the fashions of the world? Do you really want to be an example of the believers? This is what you must do. In word, in the way that you speak, your conversation, your talk. It is very sad and scary that sometimes the foul language that comes out of our mouth. It's as if we are two different persons. With our friends in school, during recess time, we have one particular kind of vocabulary. And then when you come to church and then you mix around with church people, another set of vocabulary. But sometimes when you're upset and angry at Ken, then the other person comes up. And then then everybody gets a shock of their life. True? Just last Sunday, we had an incident in the church here. One person in our church, who attends our church, she's not a member, but he is not a very sound man. And he sings very loud. And so some members could not take it anymore. They just talked to him, can you please sing a little softer? And he blew his top. A lot of foul language came up in Hokkien. Shouting, screaming in the fellowship hall. Sunday afternoon, while many young people, many children, parents, all were having their lunch. Then he walked up to Dagoto in a very, very fierce way, and his eyes, Dagoto told me that, tell me. And Dagoto said, I remember the word of God. What do you do when somebody is very angry? You shout back at him, or you speak calmly? You speak calmly. You shout back at him, he will probably punch you. And he's big, seems a lot, very tense. All this while, he has been behaving himself, not a word of foul language. But that afternoon, something blew. Everything just gushed out like a dam that had just burst. Are we like that? Two different set of vocabulary for two different kinds of people. And the silly thing is, we think God doesn't know. We really think that God does not know. God knows exactly what you say in school, at home, and in the church. Your words. Either it will help or it will set on fire the lives of people to destroy. The example in your words. Think before you speak. Be very, very careful what you say. Because the moment you say those words, it will hurt. It won't come back. No matter how many times you say, I am sorry, the person had already felt the thrust of the dagger in the heart. In words, in conversation, the word conversation here means the conduct, the behavior of your life, your whole conduct and behavior. Where you go, what you do, what you do not do, where you do not go, the places you should not go, you should not be found in. Do you have the backbone to break away from your school friends who may want to do certain things you know it's wrong? Can you stay away from them? Do you have the backbone, the courage, the character, the strength of character to do that, to be an example? I will not go, I do not want to go, it is not right as a Christian. You go your way, I will go home. Thank you very much. You know you will have to mix with unbelieving friends in order to reach out to them. But there must be a line drawn where you do not compromise and become like them. If you have the strength of character. So you may say, well, Paul says I am to be to all men all things in order to gain some, right? But never when it comes to sinning, never when it comes to compromise. Paul knew all the time where the line was drawn. As far as culture is concerned, that it does not contravene the word of God, he's prepared to do. You think that if by eating meat I offend you, or I don't eat meat. Never when it comes to sinful deeds, compromise his witness as a Christian. We have to bear that in mind. Your words, your life, your conduct, your behavior, example, like a pattern. What else? In charity. Charity means love in action. Love in action. Agape love, unconditional, sacrificial love, but love in action. In words, in conversation, you be proactive. Show genuine love and concern for others and help others. Not only your own things, but others as well. In spirit, your passions be mild, be meek, be forgiving. In spirit will be your passions. The passions that many young people can fall into. Flee youthful lust. Right? That's what the Bible says. What the Bible says, flee old men lust. Not that old men do not lust, but somehow the youthful lust of young people, the flame burn much brighter and stronger than old people. So the Bible warning is flee youthful lust, right? True? Flee youthful lust. Your passions. Keep it under control. The example in your spirit, the example also in your faith. All trials, difficulties, whatever that comes your way as a believer, as a Christian, be an example in the faith. Would you? So people look at you and see that you are one who walk by faith and not by sight. You know this world is not your home. You long for a world that is in heaven. That is not made with the hands of men. It's prepared for us by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's our home. That's our world. That's our eternity. In faith. Not to go after the things of this world. Surely study how you do the very best you can. But this is not your aim, your object. Your aim and your object is to be an example for the Lord Jesus Christ. For the believers. And then in purity. One of the most common sin in our young people today, 13-14 years old, losing their virginity, fornication after fornication. It's a shame, isn't it, to see young people selling their bodies for computer, for all kinds of gadgets, because that's the thing to have, that's the thing to do, and so they sell their body for the computer. Remember this newspaper article? Sometime back? Sex for sale, teens have no qualms. Remember this? Seen this before? October 23, 2005, Sunday Times. Internet. 13, 14 years old. 15 years old. No shame at all. Just so that they get that extra dollar to buy a particular handphone that they like. A particular electronic gadget, one particular MP3, whatever it is, to sell their bodies. And one of them even said, that after I collected the money, I report that old man to the police. Because he knew that she's underage. And it's a crime. And yet, she would entrap this evil man who would have sex with the little girls. The Bible says, impurity. You serve the mass, you go into all the pornographic sites, you go to the movies and you watch films. What do you expect? Very soon you wonder your thing. And young people, you are in great danger, because more and more of your peers are falling into this particular sin. And you're going to be ostracized as the odd one out. And they're going to tease you, they're going to make fun of you, because their conversation, the speech that they have, is not going to be godly. And then you cannot be part of their conversation, you're going to feel very odd. And they're going to make you know that you are odd. And the peer pressure is so strong to conform, that is to be impure. To fall into the sin of fornication. And all you have to do is fall into it once. Your whole life is ruined. Your mind, your life will always have that past sin haunting you. And then what do you say? If only. If only I had not. If only I had not done it. If only I had been a little stronger. If only. Be a pattern, be an example of the believers in word and in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, your chastity. Would you? I hope this is your heart's desire. And then finally, the next verse. Till I come, give attendance to leading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That's what God said to Timothy, because he was a pastor. And that's what God says to all of us as well. Although many of you are not pastors, you need the word of God. Be a diligent student of God's word. That's the only way that you can ensure that this godly pattern be found in your life. It is not wishful thinking, it's not just by prayer. Prayer alone is not enough. You need the word of God to help you to be a pattern in your word, in your spirit, in your faith, in your charity, in your conversation, and in purity. You need the word of God to help you, because the word of God will be the mainstay, your foundation to help you against the fiery darts of Satan. The words and all the taunt and the mockery of your peers, they're going to try the utmost to trip you and cause you to fall, because it is a spiritual warfare that you are in. The moment you become a Christian, you enter into the spiritual realm, and because you are young, you do not have experience ahead of you, but God says you have the word of God. And that is more than you need to be an example, so that no man will despise your usefulness, and you use it, your strength, your view, your fervency, for the glory of God. From where is it? The strength of youth is with you now. There is no room for error, because every year that passes is a year that will never come back. How you use it? For the glory of God, or for the gaining of the accolades of the world, the decision is yours. Make it well. Thank God for all of you who are here for the beauty conference, hoping that you will see how privileged a position you are in, and knowing that the danger that you are also in, and the temptations that can so easily beset a young person. May you be an example of the believers in your entire life. And to do that, be a good, diligent student of God's word. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this conference. And we thank you, Father, for gathering all of us here, especially all the young people, whose heart has a desire that thou knowest. And we thank you, Father, for the salvation that thou hast given to us. I pray, Father, that all the young people gathered here will know in their heart of hearts that they are truly sons and daughters of the Most High God. And thou hast saved us at this tender age for a purpose, that we may know thee, that we may serve thee, that we may live for thee. And I pray, Father, that the young people may be mindful of the blessed and wonderful opportunity that thou hast placed in their hands, to be saved at such a tender age. Help each one, O Lord, to use the strength of their youth for the glory of thy holy name, that they may be examples of the believers in their life, that others, when they look at their lives, they may see God and glorify our Father who art in heaven. We commend the rest of today and tomorrow unto your loving care. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.